In 1998, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a bipartisan sulfide mining moratorium under then-Governor Tommy Thompson. Any company looking to mine sulfide ores, like copper, gold, or zinc, must prove to the state DNR that a similar mine has operated in the U.S. or Canada for a decade without causing pollution, and you must also prove a similar mine has been closed in the U.S. or Canada for at least 10 years without causing pollution. Rob Hutton is a Republican state representative from Brookfield and the author of the assembly bill to repeal Wisconsin's moratorium on sulfide mining. Representative Hutton, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, nearly 20 years with this moratorium in place, why undo this law now?
Yeah, so that's a great question. When you look at 20 years, it almost becomes a lifetime when you look at certain industries and what they've historically been in Wisconsin and what they ultimately look like today. And when we look at the moratorium that was put into effect in 1998, I think the idea was around how do we ensure that mining can be done safely going forward. And so legislation was crafted to put some guardrails around proof of what was done and what can be done. And I think ultimately what that legislation did, and frankly what's written in statute, is it in fact was a moratorium on mining and all but eliminated mining in Wisconsin. And I think that is the broader concern. Are we a mining state, and do we want to be a mining state? And if so, this moratorium is a hurdle to that, if not completely a closed door to that, because since 1998, we haven't had any mining in Wisconsin. And I think the discussion really needs to center around, should we be able to mine in Wisconsin, and why are our neighboring states further down the road, like Minnesota and Michigan, in permitting mines again? And if it can be done safely, which that is in the context of the bill, then we believe it needs to be a part of Wisconsin's economy and it needs to be a part of helping economic development, not just in all of Wisconsin, but more importantly up in northern Wisconsin. So this bill, in essence, removes that moratorium and allows for the discussion around mining to take place again, and that's really what we're trying to do.
And we tend to think of mining as being exclusive to northern Wisconsin, and you even mentioned in a statement when the bill was introduced that ending the moratorium would create a new economic environment for northern Wisconsin. What made you in suburban Milwaukee take a lead role in this proposal?
Yeah, that's a great question. So much of this work was done by Senator Tiffany, and over a year of just slowly talking and studying and engaging experts and stakeholders in the idea of should we be relooking at mining and should we be relooking at what this moratorium has done to mining. And Senator Tiffany has the area of northern Wisconsin at heart and in mind because he has directly seen what the economic impact continues to be in northern Wisconsin, and really felt it would be imperative for the long-term future of northern Wisconsin to be talking about why not mining again. My role in being the lead in the assembly, to your point, in southeast Wisconsin, is I've seen the positive momentum happening around Foxconn and all the excitement for all the burgeoning economic growth and, quite frankly, revolutionary economic growth with a brand new industry coming to Wisconsin with Foxconn and everything that that means to southeast Wisconsin. And while there will be certainly overflow into northern Wisconsin, even with Foxconn, the fact is we see tremendous economic development happening in southeast Wisconsin. And I raised the question, why should northern Wisconsin be experiencing the same thing and be in a position to have that exact same experience? And with that said, southeast Wisconsin has a significant manufacturing base that historically has been directly a part of that mining industry. When you look at the Cyrus Erie, now Caterpillar, when you look at the former Joy Global, and hundreds of other small manufacturing and job shops that have been tied to the industry of mining that are not able to participate in that economic growth for mining like other states and other manufacturers can. So it really is a statewide initiative because you have the direct mining operations in northern Wisconsin. You have all the infrastructure support that comes from road builders and those in vocational trades like plumbing and hydraulics and electrical. And then you have those manufacturers, many of which are in Southeast Wisconsin, in my district and others' districts, that know mining can be done well, and their employees and their families are directly impacted by the fact that we have said for almost 20 years now, we will not do mining in Wisconsin.
Well,
and
let's,
I fundamentally think that's wrong.
Let's look at the environment issue here for a moment, and we're going to be talking with former State Representative Spencer Black in the next half hour. He wrote the moratorium law that your bill would undo, and he wrote about this in the Cap Times saying, doesn't it make sense to require a mining company to show at least one other sulfide ore mine anywhere in North America that has operated and closed without water pollution before we let them threaten our waters? What's unreasonable about that?
Sure. And so I think going back to 1998, I think just shortly coming back off the Flambeau mine, which closed in 1997, I think the heart of the idea around let's make sure that mining can be done safe, it can be done environmentally sound, it can mirror what happened at Flambeau, I think there is merit in the right heart and intention behind. We all want to ensure that whoever does mining in Wisconsin, it can be done well and can protect our natural resources. I think ultimately what happened is the moratorium became a significant deterrent to mining companies that, as we know, for the last 20 years, there has been no interest in mining in Wisconsin because mining companies have seen the hurdle of a moratorium as being really a barrier to entry, unlike other states in Michigan and Wisconsin. And so the path of the least resistance happens with mining operations that say, should we look at exploring mining in Wisconsin or should we look at surrounding states based on the barriers that
right.
are
too,
there?
Too much effort, and, too much regulation in Wisconsin. So let's go to Minnesota or Michigan where we might have more opportunity to get our mine up and running more quickly, more efficiently.
Yeah, that's certainly part of the issue. And I think when we talk to environmental experts and those that were a part of the DNR even back in 1998, there was real disagreement around the concept of the moratorium because what the moratorium says is if I'm a mining company, I need to provide those comparisons for a prior 10-year and a current 10-year. And yet the reality of it is every mine and every mining operation is unique. And when you talk to the experts in the field, I think there is a false narrative that says you can legitimately find an apples-to-apples operation that in detail shows exactly how another mine is going to operate. And yet the reality of it is every mine is unique. And those that looked at the moratorium even back in 1998 said, again, good intentions, but based on the results you're looking for, there really is not an application because every mine needs to be looked at on its own merits, within its own unique demographic, within its own unique operation. And that's really what we set out to do to ensure that the DNR at the end of the day has the authority and the power to look at every offer for permit on the merits of what they're looking to do versus potentially seeing that there is another operation that they can compare. In reality, that's extremely difficult to do.
Yeah, finding that apples-to-apples comparison very difficult in when you're looking at what you say are very individual circumstances for each individual mine operation. So we're going to be heading here into a news break very shortly. The authors of a mining bill say lifting the prohibition on sulfide mining will help northern Wisconsin's economy. A legislative committee has signed off on the bill. The vote clears the way for an assembly floor vote that could happen today. Representative Rob Hutton is the author of the assembly bill to repeal Wisconsin's moratorium on sulfide mining. He is a Republican state representative from Brookfield. Join in with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Should lawmakers roll back the moratorium on sulfide mining or keep it in place? Is the ban necessary to protect Wisconsin's environment? Or does it hinder economic growth? Can you have both sides of the equation? If you live in northern Wisconsin, will sulfide mining give a boost to the economy? 800-642-1234. Post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back after this news update. The Wisconsin Assembly is in the position to lift the state's nearly 20-year ban on gold and silver mining. Lawmakers passed a bill in 1998 that requires sulfide mining applicants to prove a similar mine has operated in North America for a decade without polluting, and a similar mine has been closed for 10 years without polluting. This law would undo those requirements. Representative Rob Hutton from Brookfield stays with us. He's the author of the assembly bill to repeal Wisconsin's moratorium on sulfide mining. You can join in this conversation as well at 800-642-1234. Let's go directly to the phones now with Jeremy in Racine. Hi, Jeremy. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. In regards to economic impact from these mining operations, I live next to a mine about two blocks away. It's an open pit mine for limestone sand. These mining operations are ran with a skeleton crew at best. You're talking maybe 20 jobs at the most that are going to be running these mines. So it's not going to be a huge job producer. And the economic gains that any county may gain from having a mine is pretty much voided out by the environmental impacts that occur with these types of mining operations. There was a reason why these regulations were put in place, because they were losing more money on environmental impacts than they were making any money off the operations themselves. Thanks.
Representative Hutton, the Natural Resources Development Association quantified the impact of potential mines. 300 jobs would be created by a single typical mine, but Jeremy is saying, no, this is a skeleton crew on these mines.
Yeah, so understand the concern, and I would leave that analysis really up to those communities that have experienced mining and the corresponding economic impact from those. And from those communities, we've heard the positive economic development as well as job growth opportunities for those residents who live in those areas who are desperately looking for opportunities for family-supporting jobs, and whether it's direct employment with a mine or the support structure around the mining operation. We know the economic opportunities and job opportunities that this provides, as well as both short-term and long-term development and investment in those communities. We've seen it on the tours around the state. And again, I would allow those communities to speak into why they would want to see a mining operation, number one, or those that have seen it, like Lady Smith with the Flambeau Mine, can look back and see the positive impact that mining operation had on their community.
Let's go to Al in La Crosse now. Al, go ahead.
Good morning. The proponents of the mining moratorium repeal argue that this industry can do safe mining, but they've had 20 years to do it, and they have yet to come up with a single example of where they have not polluted the water during and after mining in the past 20 years. These are modern mines run by the largest mining companies in the world that have all the resources to invest in the technology that would produce a clean mine, and they have not been able to do so. So I want to ask Representative Hutton why the proponents of this bill are willing to allow Wisconsin to be the guinea pig for unproven mining technologies, which will leave Wisconsin taxpayers with billions of dollars in cleanup from the inevitable result of sulfide acid mine drainage contamination.
Go ahead, Representative.
Sure, and again, I understand the concern, and I think a lot of those concerns are coming from folks that really do not want to see mining in Wisconsin at all, because when we've talked to the experts and, frankly, those that are on the front lines of mining technology, we've built into the bill the requirement that the latest and greatest technology is used in any future mining operation. And we know from our own LRB that this legislation outlines that there will be and can be no change to environmental standards. And when you talk to certain environmental groups, and folks like George Meyer, who is our resident expert, not only through the DNR, but within our environmental association here in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, and George Meyer says that this legislation is environmentally and scientifically sound, I think that's about as good of an endorsement as you can possibly ask for, to know that this legislation strikes a very good balance to needed economic opportunity, but doing that development with absolutely no risk and no change to protecting Wisconsin's environment. And I think that's really what we're looking to accomplish.
But as Ella said, the mining companies have had nearly 20 years to be able to meet the current standard, this prove it first standard. And I'm wondering then, is it easier for these companies just to go elsewhere to create their mines? And because Wisconsin standards in the past 20 years have been too tough for them. They can do their job elsewhere.
Sure. I don't think it's the standards, because the standards alone aren't changing in this legislation. We're doing nothing to change Wisconsin's current environmental standards or permitting process. The DNR has been on the front lines of speaking into this legislation, and they know this bill does nothing to change current environmental or water standards. Again, I think the unintended consequence relative to the moratorium was it's very difficult, and George Meyer would speak into this. It's very difficult to find an apples-to-apples comparison around the country or in Canada for a like mine. And so if I'm a mining company, I'm going to say, is there merit in putting the effort into trying to find that comparison to meet Wisconsin's prove-it-first law or Wisconsin's moratorium, or do I find other states that have the same natural resources that we will be able to move the permitting process down the road much quicker than we can in Wisconsin? And that simply becomes an economic evaluation for those companies that I think we've seen over the last 20 years. This prove-it-first law truly has been, intended or otherwise, an opportunity for Wisconsin to eliminate mining in our state. And I think that's the fundamental flaw in that law.
Al, thanks for calling. Let's fit in another call here. Scott in Whitewater. Hi, Scott. Go ahead.
Hi, who is going to watch over these mines? You have stripped the DNR of power, relieved scientists of their duties. You've been willing to...
Oh, and we lost Scott, but looking for oversight here, Representative Hutton, where will the oversight come from, and will the oversight be a critical, independent oversight?
Yeah, it certainly will be, and again, the Flambeau Mine is a case in point of that over 20 years, the oversight and the ongoing testing both of ground and water standards at Flambeau has been a constant evaluation and a testing model that's there. Certainly DNR has not in any way been stripped of its ability to watch over Wisconsin's environment at large, and certainly with our past mines. And again, nothing in this legislation changes any current DNR policy or practice of monitoring and testing that goes on with Wisconsin's prior mine like Flambeau as well, that would continue on and be a part of any future mine in Wisconsin.
And we keep referring here to the Flambeau Mine near Ladysmith, which has been restored into a prairie. The DNR says a small stream on the property has unsafe levels of copper and zinc, but lists the source as unknown. A federal judge said Flambeau Mining Company violated federal clean water laws, but that the company's environmental practices were exemplary. So this appellate court then wound up overturning that decision And Senator Tom Tiffany, who's behind the Senate version of this moratorium rollback, was quoted in WPR news story this summer saying the mine is a perfect example of how we can mine safely. So if the moratorium is lifted, should we be expecting more Flambeau mine type activity and more legal activity as well? More things in the courts?
Sure. Well, again, I think Wisconsin has to wrestle with, should mining be a part of our future as significant as it has been a part of our legacy? And I think Flambeau, to your point, is a great case study for how mining should operate and what we should demand in Wisconsin for any future mines. It's amazing that that pit was literally 40 yards from the Flambeau River, and having toured it, knowing many people in Wisconsin that take part in tourism up in the Ladysmith area, it is a remarkable, pristine area that has been restored to its original beauty, to the point that there is discussion right now about that Flambeau former mine area becoming a state park for camping, by the way of which the mining company is looking to invest heavily in as a part of their legacy. And it is a remarkable set of trails and beautiful, pristine prairie that, again, I think anyone that looks at it would say that should be our expectation and something that Wisconsin should be comfortable with if we can ensure that mines long-term are restored to that level of environmental standard and protection. And we certainly believe it should be and can be, and we're going to require the DNR to maintain its strict standards that if mining companies want to come into Wisconsin, those expectations should be those high standards.
Representative Hutton, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Rob Hutton is a Republican state representative from Brookfield and the author of the assembly bill to repeal Wisconsin's moratorium on sulfide mining. Supporters say restarting the mining industry in Wisconsin could transform the state's northern economy. The Natural Resources Development Association quantified the potential impact. 300 jobs would be created by just a single typical mine, they say. Almost $28 million paid in taxes and fees to local and state government from mining operations. Salary and compensation packages for mining totaling the mid-$80,000 range. Now let's bring in Spencer Black to the conversation. He's a former Democratic state representative from Madison, vice president of the National Sierra Club, and an adjunct professor of urban and regional planning at UW-Madison. He authored Wisconsin's mining moratorium bill that was passed in 1998 and is a regular contributor to our Week in Review programs. Spencer, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
So you've been listening to this conversation. How do you feel this morning knowing that the moratorium law you wrote nearly 20 years ago could potentially be repealed today by the Assembly?
Well, I understand that that might happen, but it would be unfortunate and wrong. The law made sense 20 years ago. It makes even more sense now. Mining is a very potentially environmentally harmful activity with relatively little upside economic development. The mining has been found by the Environmental Protection Agency to be the largest source of toxic pollution in the United States. We've seen tremendous pollution from sulfide ore body mines elsewhere. And the mining moratorium law is just common sense. It was common sense 20 years ago. And now that we have 20 more years of experience, it makes even more sense and is even more logical than before. What it says is it's a threshold law. It's not a substitute for any other environmental review. It's not a ban on mining. What it does say is that this is a very dangerous activity that has caused literally tens of billions of dollars of pollution and tremendous destruction across the country. So before we allow it to happen in what is a very vulnerable environment, northern Wisconsin, laced with lakes, streams, and rivers, let's make sure that it's been done at least safely someplace else. All the law requires is to show us one mine in a sulfide ore body, and there are literally thousands of them in North America.
But,
so it's just one that has not caused not just pollution, but according to the law, significant pollution of water resources.
But not in the past nearly 20 years has a company, has an applicant, been able to make that, make get one passed
exactly
with the DNR.
Exactly.
So what does that mean? They can't meet the threshold.
It means that sulfide ore mining, at least to date, has not been done safely or without significant environmental harm. And remember, the law requires not just no environmental harm, but significant environmental harm. So if this is truly an activity that would not harm the environment, why can't a mining company show a mine anywhere in North America in a sulfide ore body which hasn't caused significant pollution to water resources? That's really the question. Then, of course, if they can meet that threshold, then we should look at the specifics of the mine, location, the type of mine, and the rest of it. But the bill that's being proposed would repeal this basic requirement. It also weakens, incidentally, a number of other environmental standards. I heard your
Representative Hutton. Uh-huh.
Representative Hutton say it doesn't weaken environmental standards. Actually, the bill that is proposed does weaken a number of environmental standards as well.
So, and can we get into where you see the weaknesses are in this bill?
Well, the weaknesses are obviously repealing the threshold test of making sure that there's at least prove it first, at least there's one other mine, that the mining industry, which claims to have technology to mine safely, does in fact have that, not just by putting out press releases. I noticed you quoted the lobbying group for the mining company that made exaggerated economic claims for a mine, but they claim also that they have now technology that will mine safely. Well, let's prove it. Before you use Wisconsin as a testing ground for unproven technology, show that this technology that you claim in your press releases is safe is actually safe on the ground. You haven't been able to show that anywhere in North America. But also, this bill repeals protection for wetlands in the mining area, total repeal. It weakens standards of economic stability so that often these mines close and they cause pollution. And the states and localities are on the hook for cleaning up the pollution. Colorado's had to spend over $100 million to clean up a sulfide ore mine and still haven't done it. And while there are some standards in the amended bill, they're much weakened. In addition, it limits public input into reviewing the process of the mining application.
So why the 10-year timeline? Why did you put a 10-year litmus test for a mining company to prove the safety of their mine?
Well, we figured that was the minimum. I mean, you could have put a much longer test on. We thought we wanted to have a minimum threshold. I mean, it would be logical to say longer, quite frankly. But we decided let's have just a minimal test, a prove-it-first test, before we even consider whether mining makes sense. In other words, if you can't meet this test, why should we consider having mining in the vulnerable Wisconsin environment? I mean, when you think about it, isn't that minimum that a mine has operated 10 years and closed 10 years without polluting the significant pollution of water resources? The question you have to ask is, why are they trying to repeal this common sense requirement? Well, the reason is quite simple, because they can't show a mine in any condition anywhere in North America that will meet this very basic test.
The State Assembly is expected to vote today on a bill that would scrap a moratorium on sulfide mining in Wisconsin. The bill passed the legislature with near unanimous support in 1998. It was signed into law by then-Governor Tommy Thompson. Spencer Black stays with us. He is a former Democratic state representative from Madison, vice president of the National Sierra Club, and he's an adjunct professor of urban and regional planning at UW-Madison. He was the author of that mining moratorium bill. Join on with your perspective on sulfide mining here in Wisconsin. Should it happen? Should there be a sulfide mining economy in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll be back after these news headlines. Supporters of repealing the ban on sulfide mining insist that Wisconsin already has comprehensive mining laws on the books and that the state needs to realize the economic potential, especially for northern Wisconsin. And opponents say the moratorium has been a reasonable, sensible approach to protecting the environment and protecting lakes and rivers. Spencer Black stays with us. He's a former Democratic state representative from Madison, vice president of the National Sierra Club, and an adjunct professor of urban and regional planning at UW-Madison. And he authored Wisconsin's mining moratorium bill that was passed in 1998. Add your voice to the conversation at 800-642-1234. Should lawmakers roll back the moratorium on sulfide mining, or should they keep it in place? Is the ban necessary to protect Wisconsin's environment? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Barbara now in Madison. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I am certainly no expert in the field, but I moved here from West Virginia, and I have seen the long-term devastating effects of mining. I have seen rivers and lakes that no fish will survive in. I have seen industry not coming to the state because of toxic environment. And I think before this moratorium is repealed, a great deal of study needs to go into the long-term devastating effects. Thank you very much.
Spencer, go ahead.
Well, I think the caller, Barbara, points out exactly the problem. We should talk about why sulfide ore mines specifically pose such a danger. It's not actually they're mining sulfur. What they're doing is mining trace amounts of minerals, usually copper, zinc, sometimes silver and gold, in sulfide ore bodies. And usually the valuable minerals are a fraction of a percentage of the overall rock they take out. Then what they do to get at the minerals they want is they pulverize that rock very fine. They mix it with, expose it to air, mix it with water and with compounds that are highly toxic. And then they extract the minerals and leave the waste behind. Something, incidentally, that was not done at Flambeau. That was a rather unique mine where they shipped this all out and did it elsewhere. But in these mines that are being proposed in Wisconsin, you have a tremendous what's called tailings pile, a pond, of these materials. Now, when you take sulfide ore and pulverize it, expose it to air and water, what happens is that you create sulfuric acid, essentially battery acid. And this acid mine drainage is what creates the problem. It mobilizes toxic materials and generally wipes, if it gets into the waterways, it wipes out much of the aquatic, if not all the aquatic life. So when you look at the problems in the Appalachian Mountains and the Rocky Mountains from mining, this is the problem, acid mine drainage. And that's why this law specifically deals with sulfide ore bodies. And because of the acid mine drainage from mines that have happened all across the country from acid, from sulfide ore body and the resulting sulfuric acid mine drainage. So what Barbara saw in West Virginia is what we could see in Wisconsin and what we don't want to see in Wisconsin. That's why this law very wisely says, look, show us where you can do it safely, if that's what you claim to be able to do, before you have in Wisconsin the kinds of problems we've seen in West Virginia or recently in the Animas River in Colorado, where the river changed colors because of acid mine drainage and had a tremendous fish kill.
Spencer, does Wisconsin have a wealth of these minerals to mine? Is there, quote-unquote, a gold mine in Wisconsin?
Well, we have a few deposits that are possibly
a few deposits.
Mineable. Well, there may be more, but we know of several ones up in Taylor County and Marathon County that the foreign mining company that's been bankrolling the effort to change this law wants are targeting for mining.
Let's take another call now. Nathaniel in Madison. Hi, Nathaniel. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just curious. So I know you've been saying it's 10 years. Since it's happened, or give an example of a mine that's been open for 10 years and hasn't caused pollution. But isn't it possible that technology has increased in 10 years? I mean, if you look back at the 80s, computers weren't a thing, and now I have a computer in my hand right now and in my car. Isn't it possible that these technologies have increased since then to make mining more safe for sulfide mining? And has there been any evaluation of this technology?
Yeah, a very thoughtful question, and that's somewhat the claim of mining proponents. It was a claim actually 20 years ago where they said that we have the technologies now. Maybe we've messed up in the past, but now we have the technologies, we can do it safely. So we said, okay, if you have these technologies, prove it. And they said, well, we will. 20 years later, they still haven't been able to show a mine where their technologies work. So, yes, indeed, someday perhaps technologies will be better. But what this law says is prove it first. Show us these technologies work before you expose a vulnerable northern Wisconsin environment. An environment in an area of the state where the economy is very much, especially because of tourism, dependent on a clean environment. Before you use Wisconsin as a testing ground for what are essentially unproven technologies, show us that they've worked somewhere else. And 20 years later, they haven't been able to do it. Now, the truth is that perhaps in the future, the technologies will improve and they'll be able to show it. This is not a ban on mining. It's a test for safe mining. But, you know, these minerals aren't going anywhere anyway.
But also
They're going to be there. And if they have come up and can show that the mining technology is safe, then they can go mine under this law. But until they do, we shouldn't let Wisconsin's environment be at risk.
But, Spencer, that computer in Nathaniel's hand, that smartphone, requires the minerals that are needing to be mined, yes?
Well, the minerals that are in a smartphone are not the ones that are going to be mined,
okay.
One thing. But secondly, there's no shortage of the minerals that would be mined in Wisconsin. It's not like we're facing a crucial shortage, and we got to go there now regardless of the environment. They're going to be there. They're actually, in many cases, surplus on the world market right now, and the prices are low. The prices fluctuate over time. But they're not going anywhere. And remember, these jobs are very short term. I mean, the Flambeau mine was, I think the jobs were 4 years long, and then they were gone. So that If the time comes when they can show us technologies have improved, and very likely they will, then they can mine these minerals, which will be a very short-term proposition, safely perhaps. But let them show it to us first, prove it first. That's all the law they're trying to repeal requires.
Nathaniel, thanks for calling in. Let's go to Jalen in La Crosse. Go ahead, Jalen. Hi.
Hi. So I guess since the major argument for repealing this bill is for the economy's sake, I'm just going to touch on something that Spencer and a couple other callers have, is Wisconsin's, like, one of the major things of its economy is all this nature that we do have that's untouched, and, you know, people can come here and fish and hunt from other states, even from Minnesota, which also has its own surplus of those things. So I'm just kind of wondering, why would we throw away this prime wilderness for, as Spencer said, a 4-year job?
How will the impact be to the tourism industry?
Well, it can be devastating. Are you going camping in Gary, Indiana this weekend? You know, people come to Wisconsin because we have clean water, because we have relatively pristine or at least beautiful environment. And, you know, they're not going to come to the strip mines of West Virginia. And look at Colorado, how bad their tourism was hurt when a sulfide ore mine, acid drainage from a sulfide ore mine, turned the it killed fish in the Animas River. Those areas had hard economic impacts. And remember, the upside of this is very limited. You quoted a job number, but
mm-hmm.
that was
300.
Yes, except that's not true. The group you quoted, Natural Resources Development Council, it's a made up group by the lobbying groups of the mining company that's been formed a few months ago for this purpose.
And
I think it's supposed to mimic a long standing environmental group called the Natural Resources Defense Council, but it's very, very different. What we see with mining is it's a highly automated, capital intensive industry with relatively few jobs, and many of those jobs, especially the higher paying jobs, which operate this very expensive equipment, are people who are skilled in it and migrate for the jobs and come in from out of state. So the economic impact in terms of Wisconsin workers from mine is very limited. And the kind of exaggerated job
numbers
that are cited by the, you know, this lobbying group for the mining company should be looked at as exactly what they are.
Well, speaking of out of state, Spencer, Representative Hutton pointed out that Michigan and Minnesota are mining, and it's time for Wisconsin to get into this economy. What's the mining regulatory atmosphere like in Michigan, Minnesota?
Well, there's a proposed mine in Michigan. along the Menominee River across from Wisconsin. It's called the Back 40. It hasn't happened yet. And that mine is highly opposed, interestingly, by Representative Hutton's Republican colleague who represents the area adjacent to it. And it's interesting that where these mine deposits, which you asked me about, that are actually proposed for extraction, the Republican legislators for those areas are not supportive either. Where there's actually the proposed mine, so people are not in favor of it. Unfortunately, we have laws that make it very hard for local governments to exercise any meaningful objection to these mines. So that, yes, there are mines elsewhere, but they've caused tremendous damage. And the economy from them has been very boom or bust. You know, go up to Ironwood now, which is a mining community, and you'll see that the population there is a fraction of it once was. That's the nature of the economy of mining. You may have a short-term boom, largely fueled by people migrating from other states for the jobs, but then the economy goes bust because the deposit is played out, and you're left with the damage but not the economic benefit.
We got about 20 seconds or so left. Spencer, how worried are you that this bill to roll back the state's mining moratorium is going to pass the legislature and be signed by Governor Walker?
Well, I'm very concerned given what the legislature does now. The legislature is so gerrymandered that they're, even though public opinion has been shown to strongly oppose repeal of the mining moratorium, the state assembly is so gerrymandered that they're almost immune to public opinion, unfortunately, these days.
Spencer, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Spencer Black is a former Democratic state representative from Madison, vice president of the National Sierra Club, and an adjunct professor of urban and regional planning at UW-Madison. He authored Wisconsin's mining moratorium bill that was passed in 1998. He's also a regular contributor to our Week in Review programs. In the first half hour, we talked with Republican state representative Rob Hutton, the author of the bill to roll back this mining moratorium. This hour was produced by Bill Martins and Keely Baltina. We had technical direction from executive producer Michelle Johnson. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this conversation is on the Ideas Network. Thank you so much for listening.